Woof. Those are Raptors. The beam was lit, and I'm not too pleased about it. I know I've put
a little guilt in my heart
for the beam team, but...
Are you feeling a little guilt this morning?
I am.
For contributing to the beam being lit?
Screw the beam.
Your team beam team.
I'm jumping off the beam team wagon. No, Justin, I don't know. I'm conflicted.
Well, if you're doing bandwagons, maybe that was a transfer of power last night.
God.
Because there's not much joy cheering for the Toronto Raptors these days. Beam team, on the other hand.
Go to the Sacramento Kings Twitter page. They are having the time of their lives. People sending in pictures of them at the beam. One guy holding up a baby.
I actually haven't even seen the
beam. Oh my God, are you kidding?
I refuse to acknowledge this.
People going to take selfies in front of the beam yesterday. People holding up their newborn baby in a purple onesie saying, beam baby. People putting beam purple candles on cakes and saying, beam birthday. The beam has changed the NBA, and we got to see it up close and personal yesterday, and I'm not happy about it.
Maybe I wouldn't be confused on what the beam really is, whether it's a light or a physical structure.
If you just looked at the Twitter page?
If I had done even a modicum of research.
If you look at their Twitter page, the beam is legitimately everywhere. It is their cover photo. It's everywhere.
Okay, anyway. I see the beam.
When I left,
looks like a lightsaber.
Yes, it does. When I left the stadium, too much soccer. When I left the arena, Scotiabank Arena yesterday, and I had to walk home once again because there was no damn TTC. Don't get me started again.
That's just the start of your transportation problems, really.
The CN Tower had a little purple on it. I took a photo and it's god awful. I'm going to show you because it looks like I was wasted when I was stone sober. I couldn't take a photo of the beam because I was shaking. The CN Tower was somewhat purple. I thought, what are we doing here? Turn that off. Make it black. I don't care. It was a bit purple.
Mm.
So I don't know. There's someone.
How could it be a bit purple? What does that mean?
Well, now they do like multicolored CN Tower. Like they're not mailing it in. The other day I saw the CN Tower. It had snowflake art on it.
What?
Whoever works for the CN Tower, their marketing department, has gone full out creativity mode. They have snowflakes in the artwork of the CN Tower. They can do multicolor. They can make it so it's like changing colors.
Mm.
So there was some purple in the CN Tower. I'd like to speak to whoever runs that because I think that there's a little beam in them.
I was going to say, how about that job? You just have to like, based on what's happening in the world, change the color of the lights in the massive building in the center of downtown Toronto. Like what kind of, like, is that the only thing on the job description?
Or
is it just part of the job?
I actually know the answer to this because I once spoke to someone that works at the CN Tower. I went up there and
what is this, an investigative journalism?
They renovated the CN Tower and I went for a separate job to check it out.
So I went
to like the opening of the new CN Tower. It's actually sick.
All right.
And I was talking to like, I don't know, someone that works there. And she told me that it's not as easy as like you just to get to decide. It's like a calendar in advance of what's going to go on that night. So like, let's say they know that there's something to celebrate down the road. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like some sort of holiday or some sort of event or whatever.
Sure.
It's been put in a calendar. It gets approval. So it's not like some guy in his condo that's like, ah, purple. He's got like a little clicker and he's like, tonight I like green. I think there's a lot more thought process that goes into it. Unless there's some sort of like
sudden. Plus, I mean, like it's a job. It's not just some guy like, you know, putting the lights on at a club.
But I kind of like the idea that I'm picturing like
gotta be spot on.
Buddy on his couch with chips on him and he's like fully horizontal. He can see the CN Tower from, he's got a good apartment. He can see the CN Tower from his couch and he's like, nah, green. Ah, purple.
It's like a hot tub light or strobe light.
Yes. You know those people that have pools and you can like change the color. That's what I'm picturing this dude like, but it's not like
the
that.
The lights in this studio, we can actually do that. There's a little color gradient.
Hey, we should change them. No, no.
Based on, it should have been purple today.
There's
Is that bad form?
No, I don't want to support them.
You're done with them.
But there was some purple in the tower. I'll tell you that on my walk home. I saw it. I felt a little suspicious about it.
And somewhere in a high rise, there was someone cackling as they put on the Beam Team color.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, so boo.
Yeah, not a good game. Shall we get through your day and then circle back to the Raptors?
Because you have a bone to pick with me.
I don't really have a bone to pick with you. It's more of a workflow thing with us.
You wanted to bring something to light.
It's a workflow thing with us.
Like the Beam. Boom.
Well, in order to get to that point, I think you've got to begin because you got to tell the story of your day. But I guess we could tell the end of the story before the start of the story, which is that you had a day. You had multiple things that you were trying to attend to.
Yes.
And yet, I get into the doc that we work on. We share ideas, information, some question ideas for our guests that we're going to have on later. And the anthem has to be over at this point. You have to have a beer in your hand sitting down at the Raptors game. Your two favorite NBA teams about to do battle.
My two favorite NBA teams.
About to go at it. Like, couldn't be more exciting for you. And you're in the dock scrambling to try and get information.
Yeah, on my phone.
Just enjoy your time there. Why would you do that?
Because I just wanted to make sure that we were...
I'm a guilty conscience player, Justin. It's too much.
So I pulled up the doc on my phone right between the anthem and tip-off. And I'm like, okay, I got to get a couple notes in here. He's going to see what Justin's doing. I don't want him to think I'm not participating.
I'm going to plan the show in these 7 minutes.
Hey, we got some stuff in there.
Maybe you did.
But, yeah, okay. Sorry that I care about this job. Sorry that performance reviews are around the corner.
They are.
Hey, bosses, listen to me.
There?
Grinding it out. At the sporting event that I paid money for to watch, nothing gets in the way of me working.
It's true, except all the other things you did yesterday.
Yeah, I was ripping around Ontario yesterday. Corey in Port Hope. I was in Port Hope yesterday looking for Corey. Down Main Street, I said, I'm going to run into Corey at the gas station. Didn't, but I was around. I had to go to a multitude of tire stores.
So you mentioned yesterday that you tire stores.
Well,
that you had an appointment.
You don't want to give free promo away.
You had an appointment at Canada's Christmas store. Is that what they advertise themselves
as?
Yes,
they are Canada's Christmas store.
We're given the free ad anyway.
No, they don't.
And
know
apparently,
what it is.
Like Jerry Seinfeld,
I showed up. They're like, they're not on the books.
They take the reservation, but they don't keep the reservation.
I was like, I have an appointment. They're like, no. I said, can you try under this name, my mom's name, my dad's name? Here's the car information. No appointment. I said, okay, well, I drove all the way here from downtown Toronto at 9 a.m. to get to Whitby's Christmas store, and they have no appointment. And so I said, okay, sorry, can you just let me know? Do you have any walk-ins? No. When's your next appointment? Huh? In the new year. God, okay. And so then I called multiple other Christmas-adjacent stores to find a tire appointment, and they all scoffed at me over the phone. You needed to be here at 6 a.m. if you thought you were going to get a tire appointment. And I was like, okay. So then I drove.
Somehow it doesn't seem like that would be the accent.
Well, that's how I took it. No, I didn't even get to Port Hope.
Oh, you're not in Port Hope yet.
I'm in the outskirts of the GTA. So then I drive to Port Hope, which is another like hour or so, just ripping down the 401 to where my parents live. And we put the Stone Tires on ourselves because we're thrifty and we're frugal. And you know what? Screw you people that put the tires on. We'll do it ourselves.
Canada's Christmas stores.
And so I put the tires on with my dad and then turned around and drove back to the city. But unfortunately, I got stuck in traffic and I'm watching the time tick down approaching the start of tip off. And I couldn't get in the dock to help you. I'm not going to use my phone on the road.
And remember, these are your two favorite teams.
I'm getting anxious that I was going to miss tip-off. I've never been late to sporting event. Like, I'd like to get there. I'd like to walk around. I'd like to
get in the dock and make sure you're getting your work done at sporting
events. So yesterday was a fiasco. No nap. I was a little grumpy. And then I go watch the sporting event that made me more grumpy. But I had the snow tires on for tonight's snowpocalypse or whatever's coming. Apparently, we're going to get dumped on. So I'm ready for it. Got the snow tires on. Hopefully that my dad and I crank those bolts tight enough because that's always a bit worrisome.
You got to do the secondary tighten, though, don't you? So you're going to have to go back to Port Hope.
No. I can tighten them myself.
Again. Can you?
I am ready after 100 kilometers, which is right around the corner because Port Hope's about 100 kilometers. I'm ready to do it. I'm going to do it today.
So yesterday.
I know how to crank my own bolts.
Yesterday, after all you went through, do you have the tool? Did you bring the tool?
Yes,
you're going to have to
Justin,
go back to
I'm
Canada's
some sort of
Christmas store.
Moron.
I don't have the tool.
You don't need the gun.
You just need a wrench?
Yeah,
like a
you
massive
can do
wrench?
It yourself.
Well, I don't have a massive wrench at home. I'd have to go to Canada's Christmas store to get it.
Stop saying that. Anyway, I don't think we're going to get the snowstorm that everyone thinks, but I'm ready in case we do. We're going to get a dusting, and I'm going to be like, good, snow tires.
You're going to be so pissed tomorrow when it doesn't snow. Josh just got in my ear, doesn't your spare have one? I'm like, I don't do spares, personally.
You are so, I can just tell you're not a handyman.
I don't know how to do
You don't know anything.
I don't know how to do anything.
I can see it in your eyes.
But
you hire someone.
Again, I've said this a million times. If you're in sports media, you don't know how to do anything. You sit on the couch. You
That's
don't
so
hang
incorrect.
Out in the garage. That's how it goes.
Tell me what a Phillips head screwdriver looks like. Oh, God.
Is that the flat or the normal one? No, it's not flathead. It's the one.
Boo.
I don't know what it looks like. A four-leaf clover? Is that what it looks like? I know which one it is.
A four-leaf clover.
It's got four indentations.
You know how many people are driving to the work site right now that are going to unsubscribe from the show because of you?
Listen, we need people that do those things. We need people that don't do those things. I'm in one of those camps, and I love the people in the other camp.
Well, you let me know if you need your snow tires put on, Justin, because I can do it.
I'm going to come to your garage tomorrow.
All right. I can do your snow tires, and I'm going to charge you $100 a wheel. So, but the friends and family discount's like, how about $20?
$100 a wheel, but you have to tighten them too. So two appointments.
No problem. Anyway, we're all set,
You could actually
okay?
do it. You could do it start to finish. You could jack up the car.
I can jack up the car and I can change the tires.
After yesterday's session?
It's not that hard.
Now, so why did you have a Canada's Christmas store appointment in the first place?
Because I didn't want to inconvenience myself and my family to go drive there and make us do it.
Okay, so you need the family then.
Well, I just wanted to be
Tell
sure.
Tell you what, if I hang out with a family member, I can change my own tires.
Okay, whatever. You don't even know what a four-leaf clover.
Well, how do you describe it? I don't know how to describe it. I know what it looks like.
You could have at least had a plus sign. Four-leaf clover is actually bad.
Okay, a plus sign has four indentations, doesn't it?
Yeah, but okay, Justin.
That's what it is.
This is almost as bad as the horse.
It's bad. I know. I know it's bad. But I admit it's bad. I'm actually proud of the fact that I can't do anything. You know why?
I wasn't taught. Your parents aren't listening to
this. No, I wasn't taught. I'm better than my dad. That's all I'm expected to be.
All
right. Slightly better. My kids will be slightly better than me. God. That's all I can do to help my, you know, give back to the world.
So anyway, I rip around the city.
Leave it better than you found it.
And Ontario to watch that basketball game. And I was left wanting more, to say the least. The Beam team got the best of the Raptors. That game, so I get to contrast and compare the atmosphere at Scotiabank Arena and a Leafs and Raptors showing.
Mm-hmm. Now, good times at the Leafs.
Yeah, they couldn't be more polar opposite.
You saw some bad times at the Leafs to start the season. So you have the full spectrum of emotion with the Leafs.
Yeah.
You have one night or multiple. Have you been to multiple games?
I went to opening night and last night.
Okay, so you get kind of the
made of money.
You kind of got the spectrum.
No one's coming to my snow tire shop yet, but I'll be making money
soon. I haven't been to
a
Raptor game yet this year. I haven't paid for Raptors tickets.
You don't leave your house.
Yeah, because guess what? You leave your house, you get stuck in traffic, you almost miss this, you stress, you get 3 hours of sleep.
Anyway.
Your dedication to the show, getting to the dock at stadiums.
You wouldn't have done that.
I'm just in the dock, you know, taking my time, making sure I'm getting the job done correctly. Leave those four-leaf clover heads aside.
I can't believe
No time for that.
So, contrasting the atmosphere.
Yes.
I would still say that the lowest of the low of the Leafs games... That Raptors atmosphere has a little bit more juice to it, even though they're in this tumultuous time where nobody knows the direction and they're losing to teams they shouldn't lose to. But I tell you, every time the Raptors, which wasn't many times, pulled up for a three, it was like, no. You know how sometimes everyone's like, oh, and they got their hand up with the three? No, not one person believed it was going to go in the
really,
bucket.
Eh? So there's
tough.
Like a... The Raptors fan base, or at least the attending fan base, sort of resigned to the fact that there are clear issues and they're like no confidence they'll be able to overcome them in the moment.
Well, the Raptors
play. Does it change? Like when they keep missing and missing?
Yes, it changes.
Does it
There's
drop?
There's a frustration. one thing, side note, buddy beside me was wearing a jersey. I want to know if this is like moon jail. Buddy beside me was wearing a jersey with no shirt underneath, like armpits out. Like he raised his arm and the pit was in the face here. I thought, like, we're in the middle of winter. This snow apocalypse is coming. Do you have your snow tires on, buddy? Probably not. He was wearing a penny jersey, like a regular basketball jersey, and pits were out, and it's December 14th. I thought, I don't know.
Doesn't even matter what time of year it is.
In public at the arena.
This is one thing I don't like attending sporting events, is that, like, I don't want to be thigh to thigh with some guy. Like, I just don't want
to
do it.
Pit to pit.
And you're pit to pit.
In the face.
Pit to pit is not good.
Okay, I didn't know. Like, I thought that was a bit of, like, a faux pas, but I don't know. Maybe his first game. He didn't sound like it was his first game. He had a lot of critiques of the game. But
okay. And it's another thing I don't like is hearing other people's opinions.
But the pit was
so
in the face.
So I do the job so I can only give mine and not have to accept
any
others.
I can tell you the brand of his deodorant.
Ugh.
Anyway, I didn't know what your thoughts were on that, but I thought
Moon
it was...
Jelly said? Yeah.
I thought it was bad.
No, it's not. You need to be front row to pull off that move. Because you're trying to show off at least, and at least maybe a little bit more space up front. But if you're jammed in the seats beside someone you don't know,
buddy with the pits,
yeah, that's no good.
Kyle Pitts. Okay, let's talk about this game.
He was probably a Kyle, if we're being honest.
He was a Kyle. All right, let's just read some stats here. Kings went 17 for 46 in threes. Raptors shot 6 of 21.
I mean, we don't really have to do any other
analysis.
That's
all you need to know.
It's all you need to know. It's the story of the game. In fact, really, based on the Raptors' flaws, their team design, how they've been put together, teams should just welcome this. 46 attempts for the Kings. Not that it's like equal. It's like, oh, you do this, we're going to just like trade threes. That's not how it works. However, if you're welcoming that sort of game, where it's going to be trading look for look, which it seems, although the Raptors took less than half, that's how you beat them. You have better shooters. You have a better percentage from beyond the arc, and you should welcome this sort of disparity. You should want to take 46, because if you miss, it's not going to burn you because the Raptors are not hitting them themselves.
They're taking 46 because they know that this roster is flawed, and if you're confident coming in to take 46 threes, you're done the scouting report. You know, the Raptors don't have it to stop this. Their defense right now is supposed to be their strong suit, not there. They're taking half or less than half of the threes that you're taking. I think the Kings rolled into town and thought, well, that's where we're going to beat this team. And they did. The fact that the Raptors aren't shooting threes is because their roster is flawed. They didn't have OG in there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the three guys on your team that can shoot threes, and he's not in the lineup because he's injured. And look what happens. Like, you're losing the game because you're not even close to being able to put up the numbers. You can't have a competitive game without shooting more threes.
It's how hard you're working to create your offense. Like, Sacramento's second night of a back-to-back. The easiest way to kind of conserve on a second night of a back-to-back, yeah, jack up threes. Score the easy way. Score the way, or the opposite way, that Pascal Siakam is, where every time he has to back in and, you know, beat a defender and hit a tough shot. The easier way to score is the three. And the Raptors, as you mentioned, cannot do it right now. So anytime you have a game like this, and again, it is a big disparity. The Kings shot more than double, but it's because the Raptors have no confidence in that regard. They have to score the hard way. And even in a game that was pretty well, I think, not dominated by the Raptors, but the Raptors were the better team through the run of play. Like, if you take the result of each shot away, I think the Raptors are the better team.
The Kings put up 33 more points just on threes than the Raptors
It's an impossible margin to overcome.
How are you going to beat that?
That's the difference in the game. It's impossible to overcome that number. And it's a two-part problem because you're not taking enough. But you're not taking enough because you're not hitting them.
You don't have the people to take them.
So I'm looking at the NBA averages here. Golden State Warriors lead in attempts from beyond the arc with 43.
First of all, got injured. Juliana messaged me on Instagram. Oof. She's upset. I said, Juliana, I know. My mom's upset.
It's okay. They went over the number.
It's okay.
43. So Sacramento slightly above what the Golden State Warriors average. And again, they are the opposite of the Raptors in that that's the strength of their team. The low end, the average is 28. Chicago Bulls averaging 28.6 attempts per game.
The Raptors at 21.
So the Raptors are 21. So you're seeing one team go well above the highest average in the league. One team go well below. And you don't even have to execute that well on it. Of course, the Raptors didn't execute on their 21 attempts. The Kings, 17 for 46, is not amazing.
So they still shot 46 of them.
But that's the difference. Confidence in taking threes, creating, running up a disparity, running up a difference in the score, and making up for the fact that other than the result of each shot, the Raptors were the better team last night. They were the more energized team. You got something from Fred. Scottie played well. Overall, they played decently, but you can't overcome a 30-point disadvantage. 33 points difference in three-point impact. You can't overcome that in an NBA game. It's not possible.
And that's what's frustrating about this team is that's not something you're going to fix. Like, that's not a go back to the shop. I mean, they have that big OVO board, but that's not something that you're going to turn around. You don't have the personnel.
You can't create shooters.
That's it.
Don't care how much that video board costs. You cannot just make something. Yeah, you can improve.
Sure.
But
marginally.
If you're not good enough in the first place, you'll never get to the place where you're adequate. And yeah, there's positive regression for Fred. There should be positive regression across the board. But it's not going to be enough ever. Ever. And we talked about the season. What do they got to do? They have pretty good framework. Maybe even a championship framework if you add. That person, of course, if you're adding, has to be able to shoot the three, but it's beyond that. Like, you need another, even beyond a really star impact type player that can come in and lead the line for you, tandem with Pascal Siakam, mm-hmm. you need another shooter too.
So this is when we look ahead at this trade deadline. The fireworks conversation we had yesterday, in quotations at some...
Which we will continue with Michael Grange at 7.
We will. Even if you make fireworks... to add someone that can shoot the three. Does that feel like enough for you? Right now, there's a different issue every night with this Raptors team. Defensively, they're supposed to be an elite defensive team. Doesn't look like it.
They're not.
Without OG in the lineup yesterday, they had no one to shut down Fox, Sabonis. Like, Sabonis had 20 rebounds. Like, that guy, he's great to watch. Like, I enjoyed watching him and Fox. Mm-hmm. Very good, talented players. But
good addition.
100%. If this team is built on D, you shouldn't be one player away from it looking like it did last night. I do believe that you can increase your defensive game easier than you're going to teach someone to be a three-point shooter. So that might be just right now they're a little bit flawed and maybe there's some tactical, technical things they can improve. But it's still, like, if that's the way you pride yourself on a team, and we've talked about that, they're supposed to be great defensively, it doesn't look like it.
You're also missing their best defensive player, guy in the defensive player of the year conversation, 100%. But also his defensive brilliance hinges, not exclusively, I mean, he's a big, talented guy with the physical tools and all that stuff, but work rate. OG has to work to be the defender mm-hmm. that we expect. He's got to work very hard to do it. And guess what? You're also the main option, the second option in terms of the three ball. Like, that's a lot to ask. Like, I know, I understand 3-and-D is a big thing. 3-and-D, 3-and-D, 3-and-D. That's the way the NBA is going. But it's hard to be the catalyst defensively, mm-hmm. the one that's working the hardest defensively, and then also the one that has to make the shots at the other end. Like, that's kind of a lot on someone, isn't it? So not only are you missing that player, so your defense sags last night, and your offense sags last night, and your three-point shooting isn't there because he's one of the few that can hit those three balls. It's just another like example. There's just not enough there. It can't all be on OG. It can't come. It can't fall apart on both ends. Not that it did. They played well. Again, they played really well last night.
They did play well.
Or some players played well.
Scottie had a better game. Fred had a great game.
So it didn't all collapse. But there's a lot on OG to be everything. Like, they need to lighten the load on themselves across the board. There's just not enough there. Too many avenues to expose them. Especially without OG.
Well, this is the way that their roster is constructed. Like, there's no other...
And that's why I'm leaning... Like, Grange had a great article yesterday. Next 13 games, now the next 12 games against plus 500 teams. It will bring them to 40 games on the season. We're going to be at the halfway point at the end of this difficult stretch through the holiday season and into January. It could go south. It could be really bad.
And I don't have confidence that it's going to go great.
They played really well last night and lost to one of the worst teams that they're going to play across this stretch. If we're basing it just on record, because Sacramento was like two games above 500 yesterday for last night's game. So this isn't a world beater, and they're going to be playing only world beaters. So what is it going to look like at the end of this third game sample? Yep. Are they eight games below 500 at the midway part of the season? You're going to be adding with an uncertain future when you need so many different things in order to get this team to an adequate level, to a competitive level? It just feels like Tampa tank territory where you got to make hard decisions, where you've got to maybe get to the point where you're resigned to this not working. Again, another hot take after a loss. You know what I mean? Like, Orlando just crushed Atlanta. They're pretty good. So we can't, like, yeah,
Orlando's
they lost.
Pretty good.
Orlando is apparently pretty good. I mean, they smashed the Raptors. They just smashed Atlanta. Maybe not the best teams, but they're showing something here. They're showing what the Raptors aren't. But again, like, if you can't compete with Orlando and you can't compete with Sacramento, then you can't compete in the Eastern Conference. Well, that's just the reality. That's the harsh reality of this season.
The 13 straight games above against teams above 500 is certainly a bit alarming. And I do think the problem is there's positives to take from this game. And that sucks because you lost by 1 point. But Fred had a pretty good game. He was great in the paint. He was
scored 39.
Perfect from the line. He wasn't great from three, and that's a problem that we're seeing. He was 2 for 8, and he had the shot at the end of the game where he could have... Mm-hmm. He had time. He pushed off. He had the opportunity to take three, to win or tie the game at this point, and
it was kind of
he missed.
It was the perfect end of the game.
It was. And
the
so that's,
most emblematic of what ails them. They got Fred open. Mm-hmm. They had the shot. Fred missed the
shot. Raptors had a double-digit lead at times. They weren't able to pull ahead. Like, you need to be able to dominate a team and pull ahead. Kings got back in the game. It got way too competitive there. And at the end, they fall short. But Fred is coming back into this little groove that he was in with a little bit of a vengeance. Like, he wants something to prove. And last night was great. Scotty had a better game as well. Like, those are positives. But it's time and time again, there's holes that aren't being filled right now by just practicing harder, by just having team meetings. Like, it's a flawed design. So
too many problems compared to
easy solutions.
Yeah.
But there are certainly ways that the Raptors can improve. And of the 13 game stretch ahead, that they're going to have to tighten up defensively. We have some things we can play here from last night's audio.
They'll have to be perfect, and perfect is too much to ask for.
All right, so let's play a couple things. I want to hear other voices than ourselves. People, we can feel this way. I'm sure Raptors fans
feel this way.
I don't know how you come in to last night. I just explained the positives. Yes, but you still lost. You lost 2 to Orlando.
You can't beat a good team. Do they have a good win this year?
Probably.
They do, but they've got maybe a couple. You know what I mean? Like, we can run through the schedule right now.
Well, let me play this clip first. So Freddie and Barnes and Nurse spoke post-game. We got Fred talking about their season-low three-point attempts and kind of questioning the lineup decisions.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a question for coach and, you know, just the way that we're going to play and, you know, the way that the team is structured and the lineups that we have out there. I mean, it's only so much you can do if you got that and Chris and Christian and, you know, some of those funky lineups, like, those guys aren't really hunting the three. So there's times when, you know, it's not going to be as many threes generated, and then there's lineups where, you know, we could find other ways to create those shots, but it certainly helps when they go in. It makes it easier to generate them. So we got to shoot better, and we got to keep creating them and, you know, keep attempting them. It's hard to win in this league every night if you're not making threes.
It is hard to win in this league every night if you're not making threes. Like, you just statistically cannot win if you lose by 33 points in the three-point battle.
And I don't even really think we can put it on the players that they're not making the shots. I mean, it's a roster construction issue.
Well, I don't agree. I think they should be making more shots.
They should be making more than 6 for 21. But they don't, that's not a strength of this team by any means.
So you just don't want them to take any more threes?
No, I want them to build a team that has capable three-point shooting.
Well, that's going to happen with adding somebody. So what are the players supposed to do? That's on management.
That's what I'm saying. This is partly on management to absolve Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster after this was an issue mm-hmm. last year too. Not that it was as bad, but this has never been a strength.
And they added
and this
Otto
is where
Porter
the NBA
Jr.
is going. They're zigging when the NBA is zagging. They want to be this team that plays so hard defensively and so athletically that hurts you in transition to make up for other issues. When in reality, the teams that have the most success shoot the lights out. High-level basketball is shooting the lights out and hurting teams from beyond the arc.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best teams in the league. The Raptors have kind of neglected that part of the game.
Well, they've doubled down on the 6-9 vision.
Despite putting scoreboards mm-hmm. and video games okay. at OVO.
All right, we got to stop ripping on the scoreboard.
They've neglected the fact that they need shooting. This yes. has been an issue forever. It has been an issue for a long, long time. And I don't know why it's not part of the process more. Like, I don't know why it continues to be neglected. They needed more shooting coming in this year. We knew that.
Yeah.
We thought they'd add someone. But now they're at the point where it's like, it's not even worth adding. Because you're not good enough.
I don't know if it's
not
worth adding.
You can't make it all up. You can't make it all up. You want to double down. I want to burn it to the ground.
Okay. I don't think I'm ready to burn it to the ground yet.
Well, where do you think you'll be after 13 games?
Well, we're going to find out.
We are going to find out. And it will color our opinion exclusively. But the way I see it now, where I think it's going to go, I think it's going to be a real struggle over the next 12 games. I think they're going to be in a pretty bad spot through 40 games. And then there is really, really no rationale to add at that point when there's an uncertain future for Gary Trent Jr. Fred VanVleet might be one of the more lucrative trade chips out there if you wanted to put them out there. You have to make hard decisions this year. It can't be full measures. It can't be, hey, let's add, spend a little bit, try and get a little better, maybe hit the play-in and lose. That's not progress to me.
Yep, I agree with that.
Progress is putting yourself on the path to success, and right now I feel like they're veering off it.
Shawn Mendes was there. That's cool.
In lighter news.
Yeah, well, I'm curious. 590, 590... The threes were an issue. The defense has been an issue. Defense is something you can work on and you can improve, and they have the players that can do that. They don't have, other than their three shooters and one of them's injured, you're not going to teach Thad how to hit threes now. Like, that's not his role. So those guys need to pick it up. Yes, I think it's on both. I think it's on the management, certainly, that they don't have the players. But that's what you have. You have three shooters that are good at threes. like Fred put it, they need to shoot better. Like, yes.
Yeah. I mean, but they like kind of abandoned it too. Like, it's like, it's not working, so we're not going to do it anymore. 21 attempts.
Yeah, should 21 was attempts.
Their average is 32. 28 is the lowest per game in the NBA this year.
I understand.
It wasn't working, so they stopped doing it. And I guess that makes sense, definition of insanity stuff. But if you convince yourself in game that you can't hit these three balls, it's a massive, massive issue. It's like more than just a physical thing. It's a psychological thing. It's everything.
Well, I'll say the Kings aren't like terrible on defense. Like, you know, maybe you altered their game plan. You altered your game plan a bit.
Perhaps.
We're going to take a bigger sample size than last night to see that the Raptors don't want to shoot the three anymore. Like, I'm not ready
proof
to say
the numbers,
that.
21 attempts.
I understand. They're going to have a season low sometime. You can't have a season high every single game. So last night was a season low in threes. Also, OG wasn't in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they're never going to shoot three ball again.
Personnel issue.
Yes, personnel issue.
One person goes down and you can't take them.
We're arguing the same point. 590, 590. We have someone that says, quit the moaning and groaning. Kings played lights out last night. this is crap. If the Raptors won by 1 point and lost by 1 point, would you be ripping the team like this? Not a chance. Well, they didn't win by 1 point. And
we'd be talking about poor shooting. We'd be talking about like the fact that they were lucky to get by a team that played the night before.
If Fred hit that three at the end of the game, I don't think we'd be coming in here like with balloons and streamers. Like, I still would have the same.
Maybe like a small collection of balloons.
Yes, we would have won. But the issue would have been then they went, what, 7 for 22? And they got outshot. They still don't have the personnel. If Fred hit that shot at the end of the game, I'm not coming in here saying there's no issues with this team.
You'd see numbers that would suggest that they should have won by a lot more and shouldn't have had to come down to a buzzer beater. Yeah, we'd be more excited or happier about the prospects of this team, but guess what? The result is the result. Mm-hmm. And they didn't hit the three. They missed the three, and missing threes is the issue.
Okay.
So, hypothetically, if it went in, it's a better three-point shooting night.
Sure.
And,
by one shot.
And it looks a little better. It would make a difference when you only take 21. Mm-hmm. 7 for 21, 33% is a lot better than 6 for 21. It just is. And it's the difference between a win and a loss.
This is the same person texting. And they lost because Siakam missed two layups in the last 2 minutes and Fox didn't. Nothing said by you guys. 43 is not a fourth quarter guy. Well, there's certainly blame to be put on everybody for missing opportunities and shots. Like
right now, Pascal has to do and be everything. And if he misses a layup, you lose the game.
You lose the game.
Because you have nothing else.
Yeah.
That's the point. You can make it, you can like go around in circles all you want. You can blame who you want. But the fact of the matter is there's not enough support. There's not enough for Pascal Siakam to lean on. If he does miss the layup, he gets punished for missing the layup. Fred gets punished for missing again from beyond the arc.
Yeah.
You're leaving yourself very, very thin margins for error. And it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that when, again, other than missed shots, other than the result of each shot, you were the better team. And you can take solace in that, but you also have to acknowledge that there's a reason why you lost, because there is a flaw in the design. It's really simple.
They are more than just a four-leaf clover screwdriver away from fixing this team.
Yeah.
And they've got a big opportunity ahead to show that they can, pull up their britches? Is that something like my grandfather says?
He may have said that. I'm not familiar with that one as much.
Anyway, we got Michael Grange at 7 a.m. We'll see how he's feeling. Maple Leafs in action tonight. They're seeking another franchise record or to tie one.
Which one's that?
15-game point streak. Looking to tie the longest in history tonight.
Okay.
With a game on the road at MSG against the Rangers, 7 p.m.
Maybe they'll hit the gritty? Do you hit the gritty?
I hate the gritty. Don't bring that up.
I do too, but I want Mitch to do it.
No,
I do want him to do it.
No.
Stop talking about it. Be about it. Let's see it.
So Rangers playing at home, they're turning it around. They're on their own 4-game win streak. I've been disappointed with the Rangers because I was all over them. I loved the Rangers. They haven't been great, but now they're turning it around. You're going to MSG. You're riding your own high. It's going to be like, this is a game that, I'm not saying it's the test that they've been waiting for, but this is not the Ducks. This is a team that has some talent. They have something to prove. Marner's on his 23-game point streak, one away from being one behind Crosby at 25 and Kane at 26, which are the longest two streaks since 2000. Like, they have a couple things that they're playing for at a bare minimum. And like tonight's a test. Especially trying to rebound from a game where you basically played an AHL level hockey team.
I worry about that. You're kind of trying to prove it to yourself that it's a test. Like, it is, but also these tests have been kind of easy for the Leafs to pass.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this, the difference between playing a Ducks team and a Rangers team is significant enough.
In New York as opposed to at home.
Yep.
Yeah, it's different. It's almost relieving because I don't want to see them just beat the hell out of a bad opponent anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that's getting I'm a little tired of it, honestly. I want to see competitive games. Hopefully the Rangers actually have something for the Leafs tonight.
So the Leafs got Rangers tonight, Caps on Saturday, and then Lightning on Tuesday. That's their little 3-game streak here. If you're looking at Marner possibly continuing here, he could be tied with Kane at the end of that 3-game stretch for the longest ever point streak since 2000. So, that's kind of the sample size here.
We'll have to check does it drop to, a half point for Marner today?
No chance.
A juiced half point?
No chance.
No chance? Okay.
No. It's going to be 1.5 for a long time.
Okay.
Rest of the season, probably. Even if he breaks the streak. Looks like the same lines set for tonight as it was on Tuesday, except looks like Matt Murray's getting the start. I mean, they're lined up for success. This roster's going. They got some bottom six guys that are feeling the juice a little bit now. You got Pierre Engvall getting on the score sheet, Kerfoot with two goals, Bunting maybe being your core five, as you put it out yesterday. Like
big five.
If you're looking for something positive other than the core four, well, you've got a little bit of guys with some pep in their step. Connor Timmins looking good. But Holmberg with three assists the other day. Like, okay, like, it's not just the four going right now.
Less margin, or more margin for error, rather. Because, you know, what's killed this team, when it matters, is not getting enough from the core four when it means the most and not having anything behind it. More support. We're seeing a little bit more of that depth contribution. We're seeing a lot of good performances from the blue line. Those issues don't apply to the Maple Leafs because really everything's working. And it's kind of buoyed, honestly, just by a team defensive structure that is thriving right now. If we can see anything that's working. Yeah, Marner, Nylander, all that. But defensively, across the board, that's what's put this team on the track it's on right now.
I would just want to see some good consistency, and they've had it with this point streak, but it's going to end at some point, obviously.
Sure.
But can you keep the same positives as a team and not have a tire fire of a game? Like, if you lose if you lose to a superior team in the next, you know, I don't know when they play a team that's really superior, or how about a competitive team? If you're going to lose.
Can you find one?
The Bruins. Like, when do they play the Bruins next? Like, that, they're the other echelon
like
of the team.
To me. No, the Leafs should not be intimidated by going into any arena versus any opponent.
So
right
superior
now.
Is the wrong word. If they can play a competitive team and maybe they lose and they end this point streak, but they've put in a good performance and they still have the things clicking, the goaltending looks good, you're not getting a Matt Murray game that you got a couple games ago, this last start, which looked pretty poor, but they found a way to win. Like there's tangible things you can take from this stretch, but also moving forward.
It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
But again, more margin for
error.
If they lose a game, it doesn't really matter because they've padded their.
Well, it depends how you lose. It matters to me.
Okay.
And they got.
You're going to have a stinker eventually. Like, yes, it's unavoidable.
But they got Ovi on Saturday, who's one goal away from being in second place all time of goal scoring. Like, he's got something to prove.
We'll see if he can break down the defensive structure.
That team doesn't have much, but they have Ovi. So, lots to look forward to tonight. One last thing here. We're going to take a break soon.
We don't have to go far.
World Cup final.
It's great.
Is set. Argentina
dream
and France.
Dream matchup in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's you probably couldn't ask for more, maybe if you wanted like Portugal versus Argentina and the two stars. But
I guess you could talk yourself into that, but I feel like we've almost even over the course of this tournament grown past the Messi-Ronaldo thing. Like, it wouldn't even have to. Yeah,
feels like they're in
I guess if Ronaldo was having a great tournament, I guess if he got to the final, we could be talking about this.
All this drama.
But Messi has been the story. He is most likely going to win the Golden Ball. He is on the verge of putting a cap on one of the greatest, if not the greatest, football careers of all time. And if he wins the World Cup final, brings a World Cup to Argentina, he will have done everything. Those are the stakes. And when the game is as big as it is, World Cup final, it doesn't get bigger. Multiple Super Bowls don't add up to a World Cup final. For that narrative to be at stake, we can't ask for much more as a sports fan.
We have Martin Tyler on the show at 7:30. He's a play-by-play announcer at the World Cup right now. Sky Sports analyst, works for SBS.
Back to Doha.
Australian
our direct line to Doha.
Rights holder. It's Messi versus Mbappe. Argentina second final in three tourneys. France looking to retain the title for the first time since 1962. Apparently, though, just a little something to chew on here. The French team might be facing a little bit of an illness issue. There's a virus kind of circulating the team. Just something to consider and to think of. Apparently, they're taking some precautions to avoid it spreading through their team. But yeah, a little bit of a bug heading through France. So good for my Argentinians.
3 days to recover.
My snowman's looking...
I think you're looking pretty good. It feels... This feels and looks like an...
Like, you got to want Argentina to win, right?
Argentina win.
Like, you're going to... You want Argentina to win.
I do. I'm pretty heavily invested in a few things from a betting standpoint. So I could be convinced into something else. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. No. As a sports fan, just in general, I'd rather Argentina won. But either way, things can work out quite nice.
While we're talking about betting, $5.95.90 for your Wake and Rake picks. We've got Thursday night football tonight. We got the Niners and the Seahawks. And you got your Maple Leafs on the road against the Rangers with the point streaks. Both team and Marner on the line here playing a better competition than the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
We were very close to the Wake and Rake yesterday. Half a point away from hitting.
I played hockey last night. And I just checked my phone as I get in the car on the way home. And I see fourth quarter just started. Luka, mm-hmm. 5 points away from covering.
No problem.
I'm thinking, hilarious. Hilarious that I don't make a pick and we win. Very funny. I don't even know if I had Luka or the over with Golden State.
You took two different picks and said they were yours.
Well, you couldn't punch it into the computer,
okay.
So I was all over
it. I'm not a robot.
Anyway, I took someone else's pick, and yeah. I thought it was hilarious that we were going to win. And somehow,
and then you would have done that forever.
Luka doesn't get 5 points in the fourth quarter in a game that
he
they're
got
trailing.
Four
points?
That's tough.
How did you just not get to the line enough to cover that number? Luka, I want to know what his fourth quarter average is. I bet he scores on average at least 10 points in fourth quarters. At least.
Sounds like excuses.
Was it my pick?
I don't know. Whatever.
We're a team here. It's not. I didn't even make a pick.
I gotta just say, I might be onto something with my 100% success rate betting World Cup.
That's also hilarious, too. You step in front of the freight train once.
Yep.
And that is the World Cup. Once you step in front and you nail it.
Not
and not
even
only
a question.
Did you nail it for the Wake and Rake, but you also bet the exact score.
Yeah. I said it was going to be 2-0.
At 2-0. Did you bet it?
Yes. I bet
it was like plus 800 or something, Grant?
No, it wasn't that good. It was
really?
A boost, though. I think it was like plus 500.
What? Really?
I know,
only
because
that?
I don't know. Everybody thought it was going to be 2-0, and we were right. Okay, let's take a break. We got the A-list on the other side. Fan Morning Show, Justin and English.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Just to follow up on a sentence that I said about britches. Eric in Brampton confirmed that it's
big for your britches.
He's acting too big for his britches, and he's got to pull himself up by his bootstraps. So I had two different sayings combined into one. Maybe it's a cool new thing.
You can kind of merge sayings from time to time.
But thanks,
okay.
Eric. Appreciate it.
Oh, good.
All right.
I mean, you didn't say on live radio that a Phillips head screwdriver looks like a four-leaf clover.
No, it's never going
anywhere. I'm going to have to eat that for...
That one is stuck with you in your professional career until it ends. All right, so the Manny Cast was great on Monday. I know it's Thursday now, but...
That jumped the shark, though, didn't it?
What do you mean?
The Manning Cast? I feel like that's not doing well.
Well, Monday was good, like probably their best one in a while. They had a couple of celebs on, but we got a little tidbit of information about Bill Belichick, which is hilarious. So, I don't know if you know David Bin. He's a long snapper. I literally
David Bin?
Never heard about this guy.
David Bin?
David Bin, two N's. Never heard of the man.
No.
But basically, he was selected. Bill selected him to go to the Pro Bowl because Bill was a little horned up about Pamela Anderson.
Excuse me?
I thought about if I could say that, and I said it. So we have a clip about why Bill picked David for this specific event.
At another time, he picked David Bin, who was a long snapper, because he was dating Pamela Anderson, and Bill thought the players would like seeing Pamela at the pool in Hawaii. She didn't come, but that's a cool Belichick story.
So anyway, first practice, which is like nothing. You just kind of like stretch, you mess around a little bit, and you walk off the field. I'm coming off, and I'm walking by Bill, and he looks at me, and he's like, he goes, "Hey, where's your girlfriend?" And I said, "Oh, Pam? Nah, she didn't come out." He goes, "Remind me why the fuck I invited you out here then?"
Like, straight up, Bill is jazzed up for Pamela Anderson. Says that
they're just burying Bill.
He thought, this is outrageous. Thought the players would love to see Pam in that pool. He picks this guy, David Bin.
The most surprising thing about this story,
is that David Benn was dating Pamela Anderson.
Is that a long snapper in the NFL was dating Pamela Anderson? She wasn't big back then, though. In 2007, was she kind of beyond...
I think Pamela Anderson was always...
big?
Like, she's Pamela Anderson.
I don't know. She kind of fell off a little bit, though.
Like David Benn's not a bad-looking guy.
When was Baywatch at its height? She was on Baywatch, right? I don't want to make another...
David Benn's not a bad-looking guy, but good for him, first of all, getting Pamela Anderson. But Bill Belichick, like, little bit of a... I don't know. Is that a little, like, that's weird. I don't know.
It's weird, but he's, you know.
I thought the players would love to see Pam in the pool.
So
where's your girlfriend? Why the bleep did I invite you here if you didn't bring your girlfriend? It's so funny.
I can't find exactly when. No, it was. So this was early 90s Baywatch.
Yeah, but it's Pamela Anderson. People would still be jazzed up to see Pam.
Certainly Bill would have been.
Bill.
Shout out to David Benn.
Bill's a big Pam fan. That's all I got to say. He's definitely got those Sports Illustrated magazines.
I didn't need to think about that.
Anyway, way to go, David Benn. And
hey,
he'll always be a
Pro Bowler.
We know Bill Belichick's type. All right, let's quickly do CertainTeed.
Let's get to CertainTeed. Soccer Board brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. We have it Sunday, the final, 10 a.m. Argentina. We just talked about it before the break. We can talk about it again. Stakes on the line, golden boot at stake, golden ball at stake, Messi versus Mbappe. But really, this to me, win or lose, Messi's tournament. He's outshined pretty much everyone else, Ronaldo included, Mbappe included, Griezmann included, across the board on Saturday. It will be Morocco and Croatia, Canada's group doing battle in the third place game. But we have the dream final between France, who is always there, and Argentina, who has really always given reason to fall short. So we'll see if the trends change with Argentina and France in the final at the World Cup, Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern. What better day to start a football Sunday than with a football Sunday? The Soccer Report is brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed. Pro all the way.
Speak a little odds here before you go into the break. Send in your wake and rake as well. But Argentina plus 180, France plus 175. They don't know which way the wind is blowing here for this one.
And a quick little tip. If you like Mbappe, if you have like golden boot leverage already, yeah, if you're involved in that already, he needs to score in order to win. So instead of betting him to win the golden boot, just bet on him to score a goal. Bet on him to score a goal because he can't win without it. And it's a better price. So there you go.
All right. We're going to take a break. We got Michael Grange on the other side. Talk about this Raptors team. Are we being too hard on them? I don't think so. But he's a level-headed guy. We'll chat. Sex on the Fan Morning Show, Justin and English.